Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
She's telling me about different celebrities that she thinks are on the fat drug. I'm going to have to take your word for some of these. You know that some of them are, right?
Oh,
for
yeah. Sure. I was just bringing up Amy Schumer because I think she's said that she's on the drug, and then Fred was talking about Trump calling it the fat drug, and so that's what happened.
That's what happened today as we get started. That's why I opened with this, because he might still be going on. There was a cabinet meeting this morning, and it started. What time did it start, Fred? Do you know?
I don't know.
10 o'clock or something like that. Yeah. So then I kept, you know, my daughter's off school today because the roads are so bad. What? So I'm kind of managing her being a pain in my ass this morning. I kept looking at the TV. I'm on the computer. I'm like, he's still going. Did I pause the TV or anything like that? Lots of Q&A, you know, all kinds of stuff that came up. The fat drug came up.
So we're paying as an example for the, let's call it the fat drug, F-A-T, for fat people. Anybody use it at the table? Don't ask. But the fat drug was $135, think of that, for certain people, $1,300 for certain countries, $1,300 in New York. So in New York, it was $1,300. And in London, it was $135.
So, wow, that is quite a discrepancy.
There is a discrepancy there. And, there are a lot of people that are taking these things. There's no doubt about that. And I think we all know people. Look, I see people all the time like, I think maybe you've had a little help, which that's fine. But what I find interesting is, you know, I was talking about the, I love that John Candy documentary so much. I finished it last night.
Oh.
And I was telling you that, there was a point where he goes on David Letterman and he had lost 70 pounds. And you know, he says, yeah, I lost 70 pounds. Well, Hollywood wanted him fat. Mm-hmm. He was more, it's like Jonah Hill. You think about Jonah Hill. Was he funnier when he was fat? There was like a part of that that was true. And that was true with John Candy. But you want to be healthy. But with some of the folks in Hollywood that used to be very, very large, you can tell. Certainly they have fitness trainers and things like that. But I think on some people, the GLP drugs are being used. I know some people in my life, you don't really feel comfortable in asking them, hey, you're not fat anymore. What are you taking? But you kind of know that that's the case. Should we start with the roads or killing drug lords? Fred, what would you like to do on the wheel of topics here?
Let's start with the roads.
Well, I want to say, because, look, I have a lot of questions about how bad things got in the middle of the day in particular. By the time I got off the air yesterday, and Sue, you had kind of guided us through this with traffic reports, it was not that bad at 6 o'clock on most of the highways. I was on 44. When I drove in yesterday, very snow-covered, and 270 wasn't, which was interesting. But 44 was. By the time I got home, it was fine. Everything was fine.
Well, yeah, the sweet spot. You missed the sweet spot. I mean, you drove in during it. But MoDOT had expected, and I'm not sure why, but they thought that the snow was coming later, and it came at 11 instead of 4.
Okay. So who are the idiots over there? So Nick Schroer, he was on this morning, so we don't like to double up on the guests just because it gets repetitive, but he popped off on Twitter on this, and he goes, State Senator Shore, countless wrecks, countless cars abandoned, countless roads that MoDOT has the duty to keep clear and safe, left in dangerous conditions hours after a well-known storm hits, literally 5 hours getting home for a ride that should have taken a half hour at most. I heard this from a lot of people
yesterday,
were in the car for like three and a half hours, right? Who saved the day? He said the local city, St. Peter's, will found Weldon Spring Lake, St. Louis, whose roads were spectacular compared to the horrific public health crisis MoDOT caused. And for those haters trying to make excuses for the biggest waste of tax dollars who fails Missourians year after year, many of us that were paying attention at 8:30 to the hyperlocal extreme weather page, our weather apps and local weather folks, which showed the path of the storm, sped up and would be here by 11. Yeah, all you had to do is watch the forecast, right? Yeah. Moreover, as the Missouri legislature continued to designate more and more money to MoDOT, the Missouri Supreme Court recently held that MoDOT can do whatever the hell they want with the money we allocate to them, even if it conflicts with what the legislature has informed them to use money on. So he obviously wasn't happy. He said, I'm going to file legislation that will change this. My hope is to make this a bipartisan issue for those fed up with the same old crappy story MoDOT leadership gives us year after year. Now, I'm going to have to take Nick's word. I don't know really who's at fault, but that was something did not go well yesterday with, yes, you know, trying to treat these roads. And I even told you, like, it's very interesting sometimes for me when I leave my neighborhood and the way that I have to go out now toward Gravoy, you have St. Louis County Maintenance, and then there literally comes a point about a mile after my house, and there's a sign, it's like a road sign that says End St. Louis County Line, and the pavement kind of changes colors. And yesterday when I was driving in, there was no snow on the St. Louis County portion of that. And instantly, the millimeter I crossed over into Jeffco, there was snow on the road. Yeah. So obviously, different municipalities have different priorities and different chemicals or whatever the case may be.
Well, yeah, even this morning, now 44 wasn't that bad. 55 wasn't that bad. But 70, 64, 40, 364, 370, they all had snow still on the lanes when, like, a Mark Cox drove in.
So, you know, Rockwood's off today. I think that I mentioned that my daughter, you know, like, that was the first thing we looked at. I know that when I went to bed last night, it was still snowing at my house and it was coming down a little bit. So I thought, uh-oh, are they going to have school? And they just have to make the call because is it going to be too dangerous? Won't it be? In my estimation, they probably made the right call at 5 or 6 a.m.,
yeah,
but by the time it's 9 or 10 a.m., everything was okay. And I know that the school districts are in a tough situation. Look, in my neighborhood's a very good example. There is a steep 13% grade right by my house, and there
that's
ain't no way that buses are making it up or down that in a safe way when the weather is like this. On that front, I've spent quite a bit of time this morning, Sue, talking about, now, this is a good lesson. I know you think I'm making this about me, but I am, but it's still a good lesson in, no, I think this is helpful for people to know how these things work and how they don't work, because the road that I'm speaking of, Hillsborough Road, which has been closed since March, okay, and the project completion date was supposed to be November 30th. Fred, can you confirm if Sunday was November 30th, 2 days ago?
Yes.
Thank you for the confirmation. So the project isn't even close to being done, not even close, and we are losing our minds in our subdivision. So I was on the phone with State Rep. David Castile today. I texted Tracy McCreary, state senator, because these are the districts that area really entails. Valley Park has promised that they would give us an update on this because it's not that it's not finished. There ain't no way this thing's going to be finished for months and months. And it is an epic failure and disaster on the part of local government in Valley Park. And what's interesting is, like, I've reached out to Dennis Hancock, my county councilman. He doesn't have real any sway in this. The lawmakers, they want answers. Tracy McCreary's got a call with Valley Park tomorrow. But it's just unbelievable that anyone can close a road down, say it's going to be open, and then all of a sudden say, it's going to take another 6 to 8 months or whatever the hell the case may be. It's ridiculous.
What exactly are they doing?
That's a very good question.
So, what's the purpose?
Here's my answer. Having gone down that road on a regular basis with my dog or taking my car, not a damn thing.
What's the plan to do?
The plan is to make it safer and to make
it wider.
We call it twisty turny, all right? Because it's very, very twisty. This is by Paradise Valley Golf Course and Krause Horse Farms. It's the area between that. There's a state park. It's actually kind of a joint state and county park as well. And there are flooding issues in that area, so apparently some of it was to address that. There's a 90-degree turn and a stop sign they're getting rid of. They're making it into just a you know, a bridge and a turn so you don't have to actually stop. But the goal was to make it safer, and the money came from the American Rescue Plan and is being monitored by the DNR because there's a little creek and a spring that goes along that area. Apparently, we were told that they hit this spring, MSD had to get involved, all this stuff. I have no idea. But what I do know is that we are losing our minds and blood is boiling because we're literally trapped in our neighborhood. Saturday was a good example of it. I could not get out the other way from my neighborhood. So there are emergency issues, and you know, people are wondering, hey, if we need to get an ambulance in here when Mark has a heart attack because he's so pissed off about this road being closed, what happens? But it's just an interesting example in bureaucracy. And this project was supposed to start a year and a half ago. It was supposed to start in the spring of 2024. I've been on them in Valley Park for almost 2 years on this because I knew it was coming. I knew it was ARPA money. I wanted to make sure that the money was being spent properly. I've got all the contracts. I got all this stuff. But they don't have the damn thing done, and it's not even close. They're supposed to have $1,600 a day fine. I mean, I'd like to know. I'm going to call the contractor. David Castile said, call the contractor. See if they're getting paid. Maybe they're not getting paid. I don't know. I'd like to know. But it is infuriating because nobody has answers. And one thing that could have been done, and this is true of any situation in the area, communicate with your residents. We all have Facebook pages that are in subdivisions. I don't know how you and Fred do it because you guys are on individual streets, but everyone where I live has a subdivision. We got a Facebook page.
We have a neighborhood Facebook.
Right, and mm-hmm. we share those things. And people can be informed in this day and age very, very easily and communicated with exceptionally, you know, well. But they don't do that. They just sit back and act like this thing is going to fix itself, and it's embarrassing. I don't live in Valley Park. I live in unincorporated St. Louis County. If I lived in Valley Park, I would encourage every one of these people in that city to lose their job and not be elected because they're not doing the job for their constituents.
So somehow it's a stormwater improvement. That's what this project is?
Well, no, it's a road improvement, but there are flooding issues in that area. But here's the irony. This is the thing that's so infuriating. When this is all said and done, it's not going to even help with those issues. Here, let me put it this way, Sue. I said this to someone earlier. If I were to take you through my neighborhood last March, when this was all starting, okay? I'm going to take you, Fred, you've been to my house,
oh,
so
yeah,
you know this area.
Turning.
So I'm going to take you on a little tour here. We're just going to go down Hillsborough Road. I'm going to show you my house. We'll play with the puppy. You see this road? This is the road that they're going to do, okay? 8 months later, I'm going to take you down that same ride.
Okay? Nothing so, done.
Well, a little bit, but you're going to say, wait a second.
What was it done,
they
though?
Worked, that's the thing. They worked on this for 8 months, and this is what you see. I'll take some video, and I'll show you tomorrow. You tell me, after 8 months, is this what? Oh, but you know what? It rained so much during the summer. I mean, they had, oh, no, we were in a drought. We had no excuses for that. So I don't know if it's the contractor, the incompetency of Valley Park. I don't know what it is, but there is incompetent people that are managing this, and it's getting ridiculous, and it's a safety issue, and we're losing our minds. So it's just unbelievable, and you can't get answers. David Castile actually told me to tell him what I find out. Like, I'm the point person on this.
I'm seeing a press release when I Google it, and they say one task that needed to be completed early in the project was the relocation of Ameren utility poles and service lines.
Yeah, they did that in the first 2 weeks, and they cut some trees down, and they still kept the road closed. That's what I'm telling you. They haven't done SHIT. And it's supposed to be done by now. And there's entire neighborhoods, thousands of people are affected, that can't get through that way and won't be able to get through because they have no... Now, here's the fantasy that I have in my mind, Sue. My fantasy, just when my blood boils, is, man, I'd like to... I'm going to go and see if one of these tractors starts and just start clearing that stuff on my own. Now, clearly, I wouldn't do that, right? It's just one of those things that runs through your mind. But... I was told that somebody tried to do that, and that's one of the reasons that they put up the concrete barriers.
Hell, really?
You know, Fabic is out there, right at 44 and like where Wally's is. You know, right. Fabic has all that equipment. Hell, I'd get a bunch of people in our neighborhoods, Williams Creek and Bridalwood, Upper Bridalwood, pull a little money together. We'll rent the thing from Fabic. We'll clear that damn road out right away. I'll have it open by this weekend. You want that challenge? I'll do it. Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
All right, I promise, I will vow, Sue, I'll make this promise to you and to the audience. I will not bitch about the road again today. I just said today, right?
That's fair.
Okay, fair enough. We'll have Sue's news, of course, in the next hour. You picked an interesting couple of songs. I'm very curious about that today for Today in History. You know, I mentioned the American Revolution, the Ken Burns doc. I finished it. There was a lot about it I liked, but there was a lot about it I wondered if I could trust. And there's a guy who's an assistant professor of history at the New College of Florida, Adam Rowe, who wrote a piece about this, and he points out what he says is the incoherence of the American Revolution. So I want to get his spin on that. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour, a lot of other stuff, plus an audio cut of the day in the 5 o'clock hour. We have Paul Morrow back with us, Fox News contributor, the founder of the opsdesk.org. My goodness, Paul, there's so much to talk about with you. How are you doing this afternoon? A lot of stuff in your world.
Yeah, there sure is, and unfortunately, it's job security, huh?
Well, that's kind of how I feel it, the same way with the news cycle. Let me start with Luigi Mangione. First of all, I mean, I understand we have a constitution, and you have a right to defense attorneys, and you have a right to a fair trial, and all these things, but I mean, this is about as cut and dry as a case can get, but these attorneys are still filing motions and blah, 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 and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, well, they have to bill their hours, you know, that's what happens, but that's their job. I mean, their job as defense attorneys is to challenge everything along the line chronologically, and where do you start in a case like this? You start when the police actually approach Mangione, or even earlier at the 911 call, and they're going to meticulously go through everything. And remember, a dilatory tactic, that is a delaying tactic, is always part of the, is always an arrow in the quiver of defense attorneys. Delay helps them, you know, people's memories fade, people get exhausted, so they're going to throw everything they can at this, and Miranda is always fertile ground, and so that's where they seem to have taken their initial shot.
So, you know, my wife was watching this coverage a little bit this morning, and she said, I think we've talked about this, or people have talked about this in the past. I mean, if that dude didn't look the way that he does, this would not be going the same way, would it? I mean, the weird support that he got, people donating to his GoFundMe for his, you know, attorneys, I guess to your point, yeah, they got to bill their hours because they have the GoFundMe out there that pays for him.
Yeah, he has sort of set himself up as like a boy band murderer, and we recognize he is innocent until proven guilty, and we have to remember that. But that said, the evidence really does seem to be compelling, and when you consider some of the statements he made himself, spontaneously, that is, to the police, things like, hey, all it took was a little bit of social engineering, and then when he was yelling at the police as they were leading him in to be printed, and he was yelling at the media, you know, he really didn't do himself any favors there. And look, you can challenge Miranda from here until doomsday. The courts generally in situations like this give the police a lot of deference. There are a lot of various vectors that blow through it. What level of inquiry you are at? Did he feel free to leave? You know, remember, Miranda, the basic formula is custody plus interrogation equals Miranda. Was he in custody? You know, did he feel free to leave? Generally, in that area, the courts in a situation like this will give a lot of deference. And then interrogation. Was he being interrogated? Well, the courts have found that certain basic questions, who are you, what are you doing here, those are not interrogations. They're not pointed questions that go to a specific crime. And so you can do that. So, you know, the original reporting, if you recall, was that he was shaking when the police came up on him. That already raises the level of inquiry. And you can pat down for your own safety as a police officer mm-hmm. in a circumstance like that, where you have that kind of indicia. And remember something else. The original reporting was that he gave consent to search his bag. So even if they get some initial statements out through Miranda, which I find to be a remote possibility, so I wouldn't be too concerned, the stuff in the bag is going to come in. What was in the bag? The murder weapon and his manifesto. So I'm not too concerned about this case. And frankly, this kid has been given every break this nation provides, and he's spit in the face of this nation, and he deserves whatever he gets. I frankly don't hope that they give him death penalty. I'd like to see them use the death penalty as a lever to avoid a show trial and say, you want a plea? Okay, we'll give you a Koberger-like plea. You got no appeals. You're getting life in prison. Put him in supermax in a deep hole where he'll be 23 hours a day in a cell with no TV, no anything. And let's see how much of a boy band member he looks like then after a few years of that stuff.
Paul Morrow back with us this afternoon. I know that you spent quite a bit of time writing and talking about this situation in Minnesota. You know, this reporting about the waste with the federal money has been out there, you know, for a couple of years in a couple of different versions. But then it sort of all comes together. The New York Times, I guess, because they do a story on this, they kind of validate some of the other reporting. But this is quite stunning. I guess that's why the Times finally had to do the story, because the numbers, the math involved here, the level of corruption is just staggering.
Staggering. One of the biggest, if not the biggest, municipal frauds maybe in American history. We know about the Somali piece, thanks to Chris Rufo's reporting with the Manhattan Institute, which is, I think, what prodded the New York Times. But I have to speak up for an entity that had it first and has it actually more fulsomely, and that is County Highway. It's a newspaper that I actually subscribe to. It comes out once a month. And the conceit of this thing is that it's kind of America's newspaper, and it's actually a newspaper, newspaper, a paper thing that arrives in the mail. And they do these deep dive reportings, and this one they really nailed, and they beat everybody to it. And it's appalling. The basic construct here was the following. We will use federal money in Minnesota to buy Somali votes. That's it. That's really what was going on. And it looks to me to have been ubiquitous throughout Minnesota government. They didn't care because it was mostly federal money that was going out the door, so it didn't hit their bottom line. It allowed them to look like the good guys. They avoided the horrible, the nightmare of ever being called racist by actually putting in some safeguards on the Somali community that was stealing us all blind. And they didn't care because it was our money, not Minnesota money. Yeah. From where I sit, and I wrote about it last night, it was in the Office Desk Today that dropped this morning, and people want to see some of the contours of this thing. A shorthand is in my Ops Desk drop from this morning.
It's excellent. Yeah, and I've read it. And let me point out a couple of things, Paul, from that, because you talk about this Feeding Our Future plan. That was $250 million that was supposed to go to kids who were hungry, right? So they set up all these fake child feeding sites, they invent rosters of kids in sham nonprofits. And then this part, when you say this later, I think this is interesting. You say, during one of the first Feeding Our Future cases that finally went to trial, the five charged Somalis tried to bribe the jury with $200,000. And as if that was not enough, the suspects told the juror that during deliberation, she should contend that the prosecutions were a racist witch hunt against the black Muslim immigrant community. So this goes deep, even after the allegations and you get to trial, there's still corruption and allegations of, you know, threats, et cetera, things like those lines here in Minnesota.
Yeah, they know what levers to push, and they knew, you know, use the R word, you know, claim that they're racist. They know in Minnesota, all of the Somalis that they brought in, they all uniformly vote Democrat. And so they know what levers to push, and they know that a guy like Waltz and a guy like Keith Ellison, the attorney general, they know that they will run scared at the invocation of the R word. And that's what in fact happened here. And again, if you look at the County Highway reporting, this piece doesn't seem to appear anyplace else. It looks to me like you have more than enough to open a bribery investigation. Just to open an investigation. I'm not saying he's guilty, but it looks pretty bad. They met with him, a group of them met with him, and complained that they were getting actually investigated and looked at for stealing. And he said, I'll handle this, and essentially advocated against his own government. Remember, he's supposed to be part of the watchdog in Minnesota. And then, miraculously, over the next about 10 days, $15,000 go to Ellison's reelection campaign from some of these people that were complaining in his office and the Feeding Our Future group. And in fact, another $2,500 go to his son's election campaign because he was running for the city council out there. It is blatant, pure corruption. It's a disgrace. Walz countenanced it, got out in front of it, gave some of these people awards, made sure they weren't investigated. I didn't say that lightly. I think that entire apparatus is a RICO with Walz at the top. And the American people should be screaming because it's our money. And it's, to me, we should all be suing. We should be looking at a class action suit against the individuals. It's hard to sue the government out there. It's hard to sue a state government. But we should be looking at these entities that were stealing us blind to try to claw some of our own money back.
And some of this, you know, obviously the fraud was with COVID stuff. We all knew that was going to happen, and that's happened all over the country. I remember even saying at the time, Paul, you probably said the same thing.
Sure.
When all is said and done, how many billions and billions of dollars of this is going to be wasted? And we're finding probably even a lot more than we anticipated. Great to have you on. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. A lot of stuff keeping you busy at the ops desk. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care. That's Paul Morrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
So I have a friend who, a longtime friend, used to be on the Associated Press board here in Missouri. Believe it or not, I had esteemed positions like that in the past. I was far too young to be given any responsibility, but for whatever reason, some people did. And one of the guys who was the chief AP reporter in Jeff City, Scott Charton, did a lot of the stories. And I've known him for decades. When he posts, he's Trump derangement syndrome deranged, and or afflicted, I guess I would say. And he put something up because, the Poynter Institute, I don't know if you're familiar with them, Sue, but they represent journalists and they do a lot of different things in polling and stuff like that. So Scott put something up that was from the Poynter Institute that says President Trump has a history of name-calling reporters and labeling organizations fake news. His latest move is a White House webpage launched last week to name and shame media with disagreeable stories. We talked about this with Curtis Houck yesterday, right? The page headline, Misleading Bias Exposed, features a media offender of the week. So my response was... The biggest challenge here is narrowing to just one. I mean, that's just unfair. And Scott's response to me was, wow. And I said, you know, this is a real life example. I said, like, Scott, how would you choose on today, on December 2nd, 2025? Would you start with calling out the Washington Post on its BS? Because that's kind of unfair. That's a layup. That would be cheating because the New York Times already did that. So how would you start with highlighting the media malfeasance out there? That's a tough job, and you should really have to do it hourly. But these are people. I have this movie director friend, Rod Lurie. They are so Trump deranged, it's unbelievable. Which leads me to a column that I read, which is really, really good, very long, which is why I decided to have a guest on and not just kind of paraphrase this. Christian Twist is here with the Confessions of a Conservative Atheist website, and he wrote a piece about how the Orange Man bad theory of everything sort of takes hold in society. How are you, Christian? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Thank you so much
for having me on. It's an honor.
But, you know, the story that I just mentioned here with, you know, this Venezuelan drug boat, and now we're finding out maybe a little bit more information that's more accurate from the New York Times, I don't know, is a perfect example of what you're talking about. I mean, we had Jimmy Kimmel. It's just like one thing after another to try to get people's heads to explode out there about something Trump's doing that's bad, and they fall for it every time. You know, every hoax they fall for, and it keeps happening.
Yes, well, apparently they've never heard of Charlie Brown, Lucy, and the football, because that's another analogy that comes to mind. They've got the same hallmarks every time. I mean, you read the Washington Post story, the CNN story. I read it. I looked at my wife in the morning, and I said, we know this is bogus. We know where this is going to end.
Right.
And yet there's multiple days of outrage, and then poof, it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the pattern. That's why I kind of mentioned the Jimmy Kimmel thing. There's a couple other stories like that. And then they try to grab onto something. Now, last week, or I guess maybe even the week before Thanksgiving, it was the video by, you know, the Democrat traitors warning everyone in the military to not do their jobs if they get an order that they don't like. Well, that was the narrative before Thanksgiving. And then that kind of fell apart because not one of them could even name one thing that was not an order that they shouldn't follow. So I think they kind of failed on that one. This is the next one. It looks like they're failing. What's next in December, Christian? I can't wait to see what it is.
Well, from what I can tell, it's that Trump might have dozed off for a second at the cabinet meeting today, because all of a sudden the outrage about war crimes, murder, what have you, some people are referencing the ancient law of the sea as if, you know, we follow that, what Captain Ahab might have been doing in the 1800s, but ultimately it'll be Trump asleep, it'll be something else. And I think you hit on a really good point. What's interesting about this pattern is it doesn't really matter the size of the story. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel, he's not watched by a lot of people for someone on a major network, and yet that was given the same amount of outrage as the drug cartel story, which is to some extent a real story. It's a major policy change. There's reason to ask questions, but
yes,
it just goes
absolutely
through this rinse-repeat cycle.
Right, and there are reasons. Let's focus on that, because I would agree that there are real reasons to perhaps get down to the bottom of what happened there. But here's what I'd like to know. I'd just like to know the truth. And how about knowing the truth before you blast something out there that's not the truth?
Yeah, well, they're not interested in the truth. The truth is irrelevant to them. The precedent is irrelevant to them. What other presidents did is irrelevant to them. They truly believe two things. Number one, the world began on January 20th. There was no prior history to that. Number two, the average person is so stupid that they cannot follow the fact that they change their story every day. And if you look at everything through that lens, it starts to make a lot of sense.
Well, But the other problem that I think exists out there, and I don't know how you change this, because let's face it, one of the reasons that the left goes crazy on this stuff is because they have the legacy media, for the most part, you know, pulling the wagon behind them. Now, the New York Times had to be honest about this one. But I always tell people, and I try to encourage my audience, if you want to convince your friends out there about the media malpractice that goes on a regular basis, don't listen to me. Don't listen to a conservative. Read Yuri Berliner and what he had to say about his experience at NPR. Or let's do something a little even more recent. Let's read what happened to the BBC and how they had biased reporting. That's not, none of this stuff is even debatable at this point. I mean, it really happened, and most people out there have no idea that it happened because, and I don't want to say everyone's a sheep. We have people listening to this audience who are obviously more informed and they're more curious about the news of the day. A lot of people have their lives. I get it. I have a 10-year-old kid. But when you have the Today Show or CBS This Morning just doing quick headlines about the Orange Man being bad, which they do every day, that tends to sway opinion, doesn't it?
It does. It's a weird thing, because if anyone listened to these people, to a large extent, Trump never would have prevailed last year. There's no way he would have won with 95% of the media calling him Hitler, or at least Mussolini, on a daily basis. At the same time, they certainly have the ability to shape the narrative in a way that favors leftist ideology. And, you know, where that lands is really tough to say, because you pointed out the BBC and others, but, you know, the weird thing is there's never any wake up call for them. They're an institution that's based on trust. By any poll, Gallup and others, they have no trust whatsoever, and yet they won't do anything to rebuild that trust. They just keep going in the cycle. Like, the BBC thing was amazing to me, because there were people coming out defending the BBC. I mean, they clearly manipulated this video clip, combining two things that took place an hour apart to make it mean something totally different. And the reaction wasn't, yeah, they shouldn't have done it. It was, Trump shouldn't have called it out.
Right.
So once again, you get back to Orange Man bed.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, I mentioned a couple of these stories that they go nuts on. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, that was one from earlier, right? The Jimmy Kimmel thing. I just thought of something else, too, that was, oh, the White House renovation. Because if you remember the first couple of days of that, the American people, for the most part, were left with the impression that Trump had torn down the entire White House, right? Not a wing of the White House, but that he had torn down the residence, because that's how they were spinning it out there. Look what he's doing, even though it's pretty common for renovations to be done at the White House.
Well, that story was incredibly instructive for a lot of ways. First, it wasn't a real story. It happens all the time at the White House. Second, they claimed it was illegal, as if, you know, the president can't reconstruct parts of the White House, or no one's ever done it before. And then third, if you saw some of the reactions, one person claimed that the image reminded them of 9/11. And then recently, Michelle Obama was asked how it affected her body. I mean, someone actually sat there and said to themselves that Michelle Obama was physically harmed in some way by a ballroom that, you know, as well as I do, everyone's going to love. The first time a Democrat holds an event there, it's going to be considered the greatest thing ever. And this was a ballroom. It was like the Kimmel thing. It was a non-story. Yet it was days and days of outrage. And I hate to say it, they can't help themselves.
No, I know. They can't.
This is not going to stop.
Yeah, they can't. Christian Twist, thanks so much. Tell me a little bit. I was not familiar with you. I found this. I can't remember if I found it on Real Clear Politics or somewhere. But the website is confessionsofaconservative.com. You say Confessions of a Conservative Atheist. Explain that. Explain the site and what you do out there.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Well, interestingly enough, I do this for fun. I'm on my 1,000th post tomorrow, so I've held the blog since 2020.
Congratulations.
I am a diehard, thank you very much, I'm a diehard conservative, but I also happen to be an atheist, so I don't necessarily align with my Republican brethren on a lot of issues.
We may have a little bit in common there. I can't comment on that any further, but yes.
I post on politics.
I would be more agnostic, by the way, than atheist, but yes.
But I post on politics, Shakespeare, and something that's close to your heart. I am a Bruce Springsteen fanatic.
I see that. And that's tough for you and I to defend these days, isn't it?
It is. Even my wife has had enough of him with some of his comments on that. Me, I'm just like, he lives in his own world. He's 75, 76 years old. He's a billionaire. he's earned the right to do and say what he wants. When I get some of these younger celebrities who've never done anything for anybody, it's kind of
Shut up. We do have a little in common. Well, I love the site. Thank you so much for coming on. The bad news is when you're a good guest, you get invited back. So I hope that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. Happy to do it. Good luck with the rest of the show. And I know you've got David Strom on later. He is a personal favorite of mine as well. So tell him hello.
I will. He's awesome. We love David up in Minneapolis. He's going to talk about that story. Thank you, Christian. I appreciate it. I want to spend a little more time here on the Washington Post reporting, which has now been, this is so fascinating, debunked by the New York Times. So, and you know, I didn't talk about this yesterday, and one of the reasons I didn't talk about it is because there was something in my gut that said something's not right here with this reporting. And there were a lot of denials on the part of Pete Hegseth and the administration, but essentially the Washington Post comes out with this story about this September 2nd attack on a Venezuelan drug boat in which there are two survivors after the initial bomb. And they're hanging off the side of the boat or whatever, and Pete Hegseth, that evil, you know, war secretary says, take them out, take the other two out. And that's not something that's legal. Constitutionally, we can't do that. That does not follow the protocol of war. But the problem is the New York Times report that now comes out and says, according to five U.S. officials who spoke separately and on the condition of anonymity to discuss this matter, Mr. Hegseth, ahead of the September 2nd attack, ordered a strike that would kill the people on the boat, destroy the vessel and its purported cargo of drugs. But each official said Mr. Hegseth's directive did not specifically address what should happen if a first missile turned out to not fully accomplish all those things. And the official said his order was not a response to surveillance footage showing that at least two people on the boat survived the first blast. Admiral Bradley, who is being thrown under the bus by a lot of Democrats right now, ordered the initial missile strike and then several follow-up strikes that killed the initial survivors and sank the boat. Now, there are people out there calling for this guy, the admiral, to face, you know, war crimes, right? Listen to Hakeem Jeffries here.
The question in front of us, and I believe there will be bipartisan investigations in both the House and in the Senate in order to determine whether war crimes were committed, and either U.S. law or international law or both were violated.
So this is unbelievable. All right, so think about this. This is another hill that the Democrats want to die in. They want to say this administration is full of war criminals. This, look at what they do. Now, I hate to tell them. I hate to tell Hakeem Jeffries and all the other Democrats, AOC, et cetera, everyone else that's calling for Pete Hegseth's head, but 98% of the American people would probably say, yeah, take out the drug runners. Right now, that is not to ignore international law and protocol with war or our Constitution or anything like that. But I think Dan Crenshaw, Congressman, former Navy SEAL, kind of puts it best.
I can't recall any time in my history doing counterterrorism operations where we strike a group, whether that's a building or a boat or a vehicle, and then we were like, oh, well, they're survivors. We have to go. We can't kill them. Of course we kill them.
Yeah, of course you kill them, right? Of course you kill them. That's why I think a lot of the American people might be a little confused right now. Wait a second. We're complaining because we took out two bad guys. Here's Pete Hegseth.
We've only just begun striking narco boats and putting narco terrorists at the bottom of the ocean because they've been poisoning the American people. We've had a bit of a pause because it's hard to find boats to strike right now, which is the entire point.
Exactly.
Right? Deterrence has to matter, not arrest and hand over and then do it again.
So the focus on the legacy media and CNN, and I heard some of this last night, is did Hegseth order that second strike because of the survivors? Well, the New York Times says no, he didn't. He answers.
I watched that first strike live. As you can imagine, at the Department of War, we got a lot of things to do. So I didn't stick around for the hour and 2 hours, whatever, where all the sensitive site exploitation digitally occurs. So I moved on to my next meeting. A couple of hours later, I learned that that commander had made which he had the complete authority to do. And by the way, Admiral Bradley made the correct decision to ultimately sink the boat and eliminate the threat. He sunk the boat and eliminated the threat. And it was the right call. We have his back.
So it's fascinating because you have two of the biggest lying media offenders out there, the New York Times and the Washington Post, who are going toe-to-toe now on who's telling the truth on this stuff. This is funny, too, Sue. So I'm driving home last night. I got Laura on. You know, I like to turn Laura's show on, Fox, when I leave just to see what she's doing. And then I lately I've done this more and more, certainly over the past few months. If they go to a commercial break or something like that, I'll hit CNN and see what they're talking about. And CNN and what's her name? Who was the who does that 6 o'clock show? Anyway, it doesn't really matter. But they were teasing into a commercial break about the president's health and questions about the president's health. And I swear I spit Diet Coke out of my nose because this is a media that never, ever, ever talked about the former president's health. And when we tried to bring up what's now been completely vindicated about Joe Biden's health, they said, no, deep fakes, nothing to see here. The president is fine. There's some of them out there still saying that.
I know.
Still insisting that. So for CNN, this is what they don't realize. For them to have, they have no legitimacy, no credibility on this whatsoever to talk about Trump's health. The dude, yeah, did he take a nap during the cabinet meeting today? I don't know. Maybe he dozed off a second, but he's going about 18 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you can't, I don't care what you say about this guy. I don't care if you hate him, if you think he's a Nazi, all those things. You can't deny that he is a workaholic who is accessible to the American people on a regular basis. I mean, he wouldn't shut up this morning at the cabinet meeting. He kept answering questions. We have seen in less than a year in this administration, I don't think there's any doubt that if you would add up the amount of times that Trump has spoken with the media in a free form format, that it would be 20, 30, 40, 50 times more than Joe Biden
50.
Did in 4 years. Yeah,
exactly.
Maybe more than 50.
I think it might be.
Because he wasn't out there. KJP was out there lying, but Joe Biden wasn't sitting there asking or answering questions or taking questions. Never. He never did it. So CNN wants to put their reporters on a question about an MRI that happened with Trump and about his health. And you have people out there. Do you remember the whole Easter Bunny controversy where the Easter Bunny kind of had to guide Biden in the other direction because he was lost
yes.
a couple years ago? So the person in the Easter Bunny costume was one of his communications staffers, right? And she goes on, the former Easter Bunny goes on Twitter on Sunday and starts complaining about Trump's health. And then
I swear to you.
And then people finally said, you're the person in the Easter Bunny cut. You cannot make this stuff up, Sue.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.